Glad you're here on this Memorial Day weekend. I doubt any of you has traveled as far as our speaker today. We're glad he did and took time to get here. It's been a long trip and a short time or whatever getting here, as they say. I know he's tired in body, but I trust the Lord's going to help him. Our brother, my brother, your brother in the Lord, and I appreciate who he is. I've stood here and told you the great work of the India Gospel League. I could stand here again and tell you all the numbers and statistics on how the church is growing and how the India Gospel League is helping the country of India. But I'm not going to go on and on with that. I'm simply going to say we're glad to have our brother Daniel Stevens here and the great work that the India Gospel League is doing. It's just good to know when you have a kindred spirit with somebody and know they're the real deal. The nothing fake, nothing over the top. It's just simply good, godly men and women doing a work for our Lord and Savior. And I appreciate him. I appreciate his genuine spirit and kindred spirit. So if you will, let's welcome Daniel as he shares the Word of God here with us today.
Greet you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's an honor for me to be with all of you today and to share God's word, even though I'm unworthy to stand in front of God and in front of all of you, but God has given me this opportunity and I want to thank him for that. I bring you greetings from Reverend Sam Stevens, the president of India Gospel League. He sends his greetings to all of you, even though he's not here. He sends his greetings. Yes, of course, Pastor Ron has been very kind to us, and your church has been very kind to us, sponsoring us in many various ways. We are moving forward with a goal of planting 150,000 churches by the end of 2020, and right now God has helped us plant over 75,000 churches, and it is because of your prayers and because of your contribution today God is building his kingdom in India and in Sri Lanka. And I want to thank on behalf of IGL to everyone at Jones Chapel. Thank you so much. Right now, we are moving ahead with another aspect and moving forward with which the Lord has given to us. India Gospel League has also gone into another area, which is a place called Jharkhand in Bihar, where I don't know whether you hear it or not, where a lot of persecution is going on right now. But by God's grace, still with his help, the churches are getting stronger. The more persecuted we are, the more stronger the church becomes. And many people are coming to Christ through this. And again, I request all of your prayers as our pastors toil in these villages. Right now, India has over 600,000 villages and about 100,000 village alone knows something about the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, of course, there are many organizations that are toiling in India, but India Gospel League focuses on villages because we believe that God has called us to touch and transform communities in the local villages. And 80% of India's population live in villages. And that is the reason India Gospel League focuses on these downtrodden people, where people have not even heard for the very first time the name of Jesus Christ. And truly, I would say that Jones Chapel, you have helped us go into these villages, even though it is difficult. Through your prayers, we have gone there, and we will be able to go in because of your help. Thank you again. We are also moving ahead with a goal of moving into the northeastern part of India, which is way on the eastern side, right above Bihar, and it's a little different over there in the northeastern part of India. On the other side of India, you know, church planting is needed. But when you look at northeast part of India, the churches exist there. The seven states, we call it the seven states, we call it the seven sisters in the northeast part of India. The churches exist in the northeast part of India. Thankfully, the missionaries from the west had already come there and spread the gospel there, and because of that, the churches exist there. But unfortunately, the churches in the northeast part of India are not as strong as it should be. And so the goal for the northeast part of India that we have is to raise up or train 1,000 leaders by the end of 2020 so that they in turn will go into their own local church to strengthen and revive the local church, so that the church will be able to do its work in the northeast part of India. It is not that we want to take them out from them and send them out as missionaries to other places. That is not what we want to do. But we want to raise leaders from within for their own people, so that the churches in the northeast itself will be more stronger. Because the devil has captivated the northeastern part of India. Even though, as I said, even though the church exists there, the church is not as vibrant as it should be. You know, there are a lot of incoming drugs from Burma. There's a lot of incoming, a lot of prostitution which is taking place. And because of that, the churches are not growing. And many young people are addicted to drugs and various other aspects. Even though they call themselves Christians, the devil is attacked. And that's the reason our goal in the Northeast is to raise leaders for their own people, to send them to their own people, so that the churches in the Northeast will be strong. And I request your prayers. Our goal is to raise 1,000 leaders, especially for the northeastern part of India, by the end of 2020, so that we can bring about a transformation and break the strongholds of devil through these leaders and send them out to their own people, so that the churches in the northeast part, which is existing, will be revived. And I want to again ask for your prayers, which is very much needed right now, because the devil is targeting all the pastors right now. As you, I don't know whether you hear, the government that we are living in right now is the BJP government, which is anti-Christian government, which is totally against Christians. The government right now that which is running India right now is based on Hindu fundamentalist teachings, which is against Christians. And as soon as the government came into power, we have heard many churches being burnt down and some of our pastors being beaten and killed. So it is a very crucial time that we are in, but at the same time, it is a very dangerous time. At the same time, the harvest is plenty in India, and we want your prayers again, so that the churches will not lose hope, but the church will be revived again, so that we can stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ till He returns, till all the ends of the earth is filled with the name Jesus Christ. And that is what we are called for. And today I want to specially bring you greetings again from Sam Stephens. He has been lately undergoing surgery for his heart. He had open heart surgery, and by God's grace, he's doing well. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers. And he's doing perfectly all right, and he's traveling like as if nothing happened to him. So I want to thank you for that. Very quickly and very, I want to turn your attention to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. I don't want to take a long time, even though Pastor Ron gave me all the time. He said you can, as long as the Holy Spirit leads you, you can stand on the pulpit. But the only question is, I don't know whether you'll be seated there. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 6. Let me read it for you. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Let's pray. O Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll hide me, Lord, as I speak your word. I pray that you will open up our hearts so that we will listen to what you want to teach to us today. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In India, we have been meditating upon the theme, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I want to bring this theme, connecting with this verse, the passage that has been read to us, and see what the Lord wants to teach us and what the Lord wants to speak to us as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Three essential things that I would like to put forward in front of you as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, in our personal life as well as in our family life and our social life. Paul writes this letter to the believers in the church at Colossae, and also some of the other believers from other places. Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison during AD 60. Paul found out some problems in the church at Colossae and wanted to rectify or wanted to address these issues so that the church in Colossae will be a vibrant church. The church at Colossae will be a witnessing church, and it will be effective for the reason it was planted. Even though this church, Paul never visited Colossae, and even though this church was not being founded by Paul, it was founded by one of his disciples who went to one of his converts who traveled with Paul. And the church, however, was so much infuriated with other things, by religious revivalism, with other believers attempting to combine elements of paganism and secular philosophy combined with Christian doctrines. And Paul says, and Paul confronts these false teachings and affirms the sufficiency of Christ and to continue to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He says, Christ alone is needed for the church. Christ alone is needed for you, and not the things of the world, and not the things that the world gives, but your sufficiency should be on Christ, because it is He who has given us all the opportunity or everything that we deserve today. In the same way as we today, the church face the same problem today. Sometimes or more often, we get carried away by the things of this world, and we forget to sometimes focus on Christ. We fail to understand that Christ is all that I want. We fail to understand that Christ is all that we need. We tend to forget this, and what happens is all the things of the world get into our lives, and we so often forget about Christ, and we so often get so tied up with the world that we forget about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. And then what happens is we run towards this world rather than running towards Christ. And that is where we face danger. And that is where we face problems in our lives. And that is where we say, and we have all kinds of problems that causes in our life and in our personal life and our family, when we forget the sufficiency of Christ and the supremacy of Christ, and we fail to understand that Christ is all that we need. We run for the pleasures of this world rather than running towards Christ. We think that Christ cannot take care of my problems. The world takes care of my problems. And then we run towards the world, and then what happens? We are disappointed. Yes, of course, as Christians, sometimes I have failed in that. And I failed, and I have been disappointed many times. We get a lot of confusion. We get a lot of family problems. We get a lot of problems in our social life. We get a lot of problems in our work when we don't affirm the supremacy of Christ. Broken relationships, family relationships, misunderstandings and corruptions in ministry and corruptions in the society. It's all because we don't focus on Christ, but rather we focus on this world. The world is being handled by devil. And we, as salt and light of the world, are supposed to go and change these things. But rather what happens is we get so much carried away that we go according to what the devil says, rather what Christ wants us to do. And Paul writes to the church and says, focus on Christ. Affirm your sufficiency on Christ. Don't cling on to this world. Don't cling on to the affections of this world, but cling on to Jesus Christ alone, and He will help you live in this world so that you will be salt and light of this world, so that you will be able to change the world, so that you will be a change agent. Rather, the world changes you. And it is the call for every Christian, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is the same message which Christ wants to give to you today and to me, that our sufficiency and our sufficiency should be in Jesus Christ. We should focus on this, on the cross and on Jesus Christ, rather focusing on this world. I would just like to share three essential things that we need to do as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and affirm our sufficiency in Christ. Three important things which Christ is expecting from us. Firstly, Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Firstly, we need to seek the things that are above. We need to seek the things that are above as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Paul urges the church in Colossae to look to God, to seek God in every situation that they face and come across in their day-to-day life. Paul says, do not focus on this world, but rather set your heart or seek or look or focus above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God, where He is seated victoriously on the right hand of God. Look to Jesus Christ, who is always victorious, rather than focusing on this world, where ultimately when you focus on this world, you will be defeated. Focus on Christ and not focus on the things of this world. In other words, we need to be kingdom focused. We need to be kingdom focused. We need to be kingdom oriented. Seeking or letting people know what God wants to do in His kingdom, for His kingdom. God does not want to seek or focus on our hearts, on the things of this world, which will ultimately perish, but He in turn wants us to focus on the kingdom of God, so that His kingdom will be established on this earth, so that one day when Christ returns to this earth, He will take His rightful place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He wants to use you for that. And that can happen only when we are kingdom focused, when we set our hearts on the things above, rather set our hearts on this world. So that one day when Christ returns to this world, He will take His rightful place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the whole world will know that yes, of course, Jesus Christ is the true and living God. When we set our hearts on things above, the things below do not matter to us. When we set our hearts on the things, our priorities changes. Our vision changes. Our attitude changes. Everything changes when we focus on things above. When we focus on things of this world, we focus more on ourselves. What we have to do, what do I need to do to make myself comfortable in this world. But when we focus on Jesus Christ, on things above, He will take care of my needs. I don't have to worry about myself, but He will take care of what I need in my day-to-day life. When we focus on things above, positions do not matter. When we focus on things above, name, fame, money doesn't matter. All that matters is how I can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And when I do that, all these things will be added to me. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto me. When I focus on things above, I don't need to be worried about this world. When I focus on the things above, the money will follow me, the name will follow me, the people will follow me. And that is what Christ is expecting from all of us. Set your heart on things above, rather on things of this world. Jesus says to His disciples in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25, He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or what your body, what you will wear. But in verse 32, Christ says, for the pagans run after these things. And so Christ goes on to say the following verse, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not pagans. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And as sons and daughters of the living God, we need to set our hearts on Jesus alone. And it is time for us to let the world understand that. And God wants to use you for that. We need to seek the things that are above as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Secondly, set your mind on the things that are of God and above. In the same verse, verse 2 says, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated on the right hand. And verse 2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things, which will ultimately drift away. Christ doesn't want us to drift away from His teachings. But when we set our mind on Christ, the teachings of Christ will rest in our hearts. People in Colossae, they drifted away. They went away from the teachings of Christ because their mind was not of the teachings of Christ. Because they did not set their mind on the things that are of God, other teachings, other false teachings came into the church. And they slowly drifted away from the love of God. They slowly drifted away and they found the supremacy of other gods higher than the supremacy of Christ. Some of the believers of the church started to combine some elements of paganism and secular philosophy with Christian doctrines because they did not set their mind on Christ. Little by little, they started drifting away. And that is the tactics, and that is the game plan for Satan. The game plan for Satan is to attack your mind by giving you all kinds of problems, by giving you all kinds of thinking. One of the game plan for Satan today is loneliness. He says, you are not worthy of living in this world. You are nothing. But Christ says, Come to me, all you are weary, and I will give you rest. Our mind should be focused on Jesus Christ all the time. Our mind should be focused on the teachings. And because their mind was not focused, or they did not set their mind, they started to separate and they started to doubt the supremacy of Christ again in the church. Thinking that the things of this world will take care, the perspective again changed. Mark chapter 8 verse 33, Christ rebuked Peter because he did not set his mind on God, but he set his mind rather on man. He says, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. He looked at his own disciple who was following him for 3.5 years, and he said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter was one of the most closest disciples of Christ. Peter wouldn't even have expected Christ to utter these kind of words to him. But at that very second, just because his mind was not of God, just 1 second is enough for Satan to take away your mind from Christ. Sometimes Satan do not have to appear in different forms or disguise himself. Sometimes he can be living in us if we don't set our minds on Christ. If we do not put our mind on Christ, sometimes Satan can easily get into our lives. Today we need to set our minds on the things of God rather on the things of this world. We face a lot of broken relationships. We face a lot of enemies. Broken relationship with families. Broken relationship between husband and wives and the church. Because we do not set our mind on the things above. But Christ is urging us today, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to set our minds, our thinking, our attitude, our everything. Because only when we set our mind, God will be able to speak to us and give us more vision and revelation of what He wants to do to the world through the church. And today, the church is not the building. The church is you and I. Today, you and I are the channel of blessing to the world. You and I are the ones who are going to lead people into the kingdom of God. And if the church doesn't set his mind on the things above and of Christ, then God will not be able to do his work. My brothers and sisters, let us set our mind on things that are of God and above. Let us set our mind on the things that are of God and not on earthly things. Thirdly and finally, I want to finish it. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. It says, Paul says, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Verse 6 says, because of these things the wrath of God is coming. Thirdly and finally and most important, separate yourself or put to death the things that are earthly. As we are in the kingdom business, we need to put to death the things of this world, the things that hinder us from doing what Christ wants us to do. Things which the church at Colossae were practicing were not pleasing in the sight of God. And so Paul urges them. And he says, church, you have called for a greater purpose. You have been called for a greater witnessing life, for a greater purpose. And that is the reason you were being formed. And if you don't put to death or separate yourself, then God will not be able to do what he wants you to do. And this is the same message for all the churches in the world. Sometimes churches, sometimes we get carried away. And the lives that we live will not be meaningful until and unless we put to death the things of this world. And so he urges to leave all these things, evil practices, and separate themselves and put to death all the things of this world. Paul says, just rely on Jesus Christ and on Holy Spirit so that we will not have to fall into all these kind of earthly things. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on him alone, because it is he who will give you the strength as we live in this world. Because he says, only the pagans run after these things. And you and I are not called to run after pagans, but you and I are called to run the race and have the crown of life and have the crown which God has kept ready for us when we see him face to face. We do not want to be rejected on that day. My only prayer every day is, Lord, when I die, I just want to hear that one sweet word of yours. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into my presence. And in order to do that, Lord, my prayer is, help me to be a perfect witness. And in order to be a perfect witness, Lord, help me to put to death all the things that are earthly in me. All the things that are earthly, which is dwelling in me, which is not pleasing. And that is my daily prayer. And God is urging all of us today to put to death whatever might be earthly in our lives, in the lives of the church, because it doesn't please God at all. Only when we put to death the things of this earth, we can focus on things above and the things of God. Only when we put to death the things of this world, we can be kingdom oriented. We can be kingdom focused, and God will give us new visions of what he wants to do through us. Because there are millions of lives waiting to be touched by you. There are millions of lives perishing. Millions of lives wanting to hear the gospel through you. And God wants to use us for that. And that will happen when we put to death the things that are earthly. This message is for me. I don't want to be too judgmental, but this message is for me. God was speaking to me and he said, you need to put to death, so that if you want to be focused on kingdom, if you want to be focused, if you want to be more effective for me, you need to put to death some of the things, and then only, and only then, you can be used by my hands. Separate yourself. What are the things, my dear church? It is time for us to realize what are the things that are hindering us from having a good relationship with Christ, from having a good, proper communication with Christ. What are the things that are stopping me from being kingdom oriented and kingdom focused? It is time for us to think. It is time for us, for the church, to understand this. A few years ago, I was listening to a message from Joyce Meyer, and she was preaching, and she said, Whatever is hindering your relationship with Christ, whatever is hindering your relationship with Jesus Christ, just write it off. Just write it off. It's like writing a will and saying, I don't want this property if this property is hindering my relationship with Christ. And so these words really penetrated my heart, and it says, what are the things that are really hindering me from having a good relationship with Jesus Christ? What is hindering me from spreading the gospel? It is time for the church to sit down and focus. It is time for the church to sit down and analyze what are the things that is hindering me from being a perfect witness and for being a perfect person to establish the kingdom of God. Write off the things that are close to you if you feel that thing is hindering you from your relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes it can be your money. Sometimes it can be a relationship. Sometimes it can be your work. Sometimes it can be your own family. Who knows? Sometimes it can be your ministry as well. It can be something close to you. But what is more important today is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And in order to get that relationship as close as I can, I don't worry about the things of this world, but rather I will put to death all the things of this world just to have that sweet communion with Jesus Christ. All that matters is my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I am not, and I will not sacrifice my relationship with Christ for the things of this world, and I'm willing to put to death. And that is the decision that we need to take today, to put to death all the things that are earthly, that are hindering us from having a good, healthy relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to finish here today. I want to finish my message. But God is putting a question in front of us today. He's asking, God is placing a question. He's asking, are you willing to seek the things that are above? Are you willing to set your mind on the things that are of God and above? Are you willing to separate yourself or put to death the things that are earthly? What will be our answer today? Let us seek the things that are above and set our hearts above. Set our mind on the things above and be willing to separate ourselves or put to death the things that are earthly.